All right, we've got Dr. Jason Cans on the line from jasoncans.com, author of the upcoming Letters to the Beloved, due out on his birthday, October 25th. I mean, that's going to great lengths to give yourself a birthday present, don't you think? To work on a book for 6 years, writing a devotional commentary in the entire New Testament. I mean, that's, you've been working on this birthday present a long time.
I have. You know, if you talk to my wife or my children, they will tell you that I start focusing on my birthday far earlier than many people do. And this is apparently just proof of that. You know, I think 6 years is maybe a bit excessive, but yes, I would agree.
Yeah. You're going to be 49 this year. So,
I am going to be 49. Yep. Mm-hmm. 7 squared this year. With that, and people can do the math themselves, and
all right, well, we'll see if we get to John 13. We're up to verse 6. We'll see if we get there, but a couple of things along the way. One of them is so I was tired last night and pretty much put the lights out. I mean, maybe even before Jason Can's bedtime, because I mean, it was after 8, maybe, I don't know, 8:15 to 8:30, somewhere in there, where I'm just like, I'm tired, I'm good about it. And I fell asleep for about an hour until my wife came to bed, and then I did was awakened, and then, I mean, 11 o'clock, she's nodding off, and I'm still, like, wide awake. So it just kind of threw the sleep pattern off a little bit, at which point I said, I'm going for it. I'm going to take a melatonin to try it. But then you're, by 4 in the morning, I'm still kind of groggy. So anyhow, that's my sleep story. So does that ever happen?
Well, I imagine yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, it's always that, there's that sweet spot where it's like, do I still take something to help me sleep, or do I just lay here awake all night? And it can be a challenge. But, you know, I think for you, as an early morning radio guy, I think that sleep has probably been disrupted much of your life.
And I had, you know, it's just interesting. My daughter, Elena, asked me this last night. She's just like, you know, she's got a bunch of classes and she's pursuing this business management major, like an associate's degree at North, and it's a lot of hard work. But she goes, Dad, when do you plan to retire? And I'm like, not really anytime soon. And she's like, you know, because I read that you'll live longer if you retire by 60. And she said, I'd rather that you live longer than you're working. I'm like, well, I enjoy working. I like feeling productive. So, but
yeah. You know, it's interesting. I had always thought I would never retire. Uh-huh. And over the last couple of years, I've thought, I could see. Yeah. You know, I've got a lot of books in my library that are unread. And so, I don't know.
Some people go golfing. Others go reading. So, All right. Well, this is something I posted. We're going to do Letters to the Beloved tomorrow. But this is something I posted. I don't know if you saw it, but it's talked about sustainable transformation takes time. And I shared this last night. I got, I don't know, what, about 8 likes, a couple of shares. It reads like this, and I thought of you. Oh, what's the rush? It takes a long time to clear emotional debris. It takes a long time to peel off our armor. It takes a long time to recognize our magnificence. It takes a long time to heal our shame. It takes a long time to explore our possibilities. It takes a long time to find our voice. It takes a long time to integrate our changes. Who talks more about integration than our friend Jason? It takes a long time to learn the lessons that expand us. It takes a long time to craft a life of purpose. It's a lifelong journey. Rushing works against us, Dallas Willard said. Ruthlessly eliminate hurry. Finally, throw out the clocks. The soul has a timeline all its own. Isn't that good?
It is really good. I hadn't seen that until you just read it now. And, you know, I think so often we want things done quickly, right? You know, and I think that that's just not the experience with life. Life is, you know, not a, you know, sanctification is not just a straight arrow upward. It's ups and downs and growing, you know, the idea. It takes a long time to integrate our changes. I think that, of course, resonates with me as someone who talks a lot about integration. But you know, as we encounter new information, as we learn more about ourselves and others, we have to learn to make sense of that. And that can take time.
Yeah.
It reminds me of something that was posted through something with Dallas Willard recently. And it had said, spiritual transformation in seven easy steps. And then the seven easy steps was crossed out and it says 70 challenging years. And, well, it's funny, and I think that's reality.
It's funny you say that because the closing question is, with the California recall today, the eyes of the nation on California. And so I'm asking listeners here at the WIB Wake Up Show, what's your favorite California memory of maybe a trip, an experience, what have you? And mine involves Dallas Willard because I went to not one but two different, was privileged to have the chance to go to not one but two spiritual formation conferences. One of them had Dallas Willard and Larry Crabb. Talk about an all-star cast. But Willard had one of the more memorable lines. And Peggy and I got to work with Larry for one or more of his sessions, which was great, and his friend Tripp. But Dallas Willard, that's where I heard him say, and I don't know if this is any of his books, where he said, Christianity is being loved in your mess. And again, from God to us, but us. I've interpreted it as us toward others. Do you have a favorite California memory?
Yeah, mine isn't quite so spiritual. I think for me, I was able to go to California several years ago and study with Dan Siegel, who's kind of the founder of interpersonal neurobiology, which talks a lot about interpersonal integration. And so it's, for me, that was a huge plus, a huge memory.
Well, I mean, it may not be as, yours is way headier than mine.
That it definitely is headier, that's for sure.
But we don't have to compare. So.
Although Dallas could be really heady. So,
I love you.
I love you too.
Have a good day.
Tomorrow.
All right, see you. Good morning to Susan.
Good morning. Hey, everybody.
Hey, good to see you on this Tuesday.
So lovely, breezy, dark, mild. I love the weather today.
Hey, eyes of the nation are on California with the recall election today. Gavin Newsom. And we'll see what all happens politically. But my question up on the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook page and asking on the listener line at 715-396-1670 is, what's your favorite California memory? Have you been there on a trip, business or pleasure? You got a favorite California memory?
Yeah, my son went to grad school in San Francisco. So probably walking around the University of San Francisco campus with my son, Ian.
Uh-huh.
And it was golden hour, and then it was sunset, and it was really beautiful.
Basically, the eyes of the nation, at least politically, on California, Governor Gavin Newsom being recalled or at election today. And so asking you, what's your favorite California memory? Have you been there before, business or pleasure? Susan and I have weighed in. Caleb, how about you?
Yeah, I went there for my honeymoon, learned after getting there that there's a big difference between the temperatures in Southern California and the temperatures just south of San Francisco. San Francisco is a long way from L.A.
Right.
What we found, but a good time was had by all some good memories.
Fantastic.
Just touching a little bit more on the honeymoon that I had out there, that was the first and only time that I've ever surfed.
You're a surfer, dude.
Yeah, well, my wife was way better at it than I was. I did manage to get up on the board once or twice. It was great fun, and so lots of different things. Love seeing Big Sur out there in California. Some beautiful country out there, and driving on Highway 1.
Right.
Bixby Bridge is one of the places that we stopped and took some pictures, and still, yeah, great memories of the seacoast and that iconic highway. So,
You and Paula Anthony share that in common. He and Laura Lee honeymooned in California.
It's a good place to go. Go to the warm parts, though.
Well, I love San Francisco. I think I shared what Ian was showing me around the University of San Francisco campus. There are so many different nationalities and ethnic groups. You can have a Chinese grocery store next to an Italian grocery store. So we just went into this grocery store, and in the back, there was a guy who roasted turkeys all day long, and I had the best turkey. He's like, I'll have two turkey sandwiches. I'm like, what grocery store do you have this guy in back with a slow? It was the best turkey sandwich I ever had. And that, it's just interesting to go to a bigger city and to experience all of those different cultures we don't normally experience.
Yeah.
And I, too, I guess, as a freshman, went out there, San Francisco, Napa Valley, those kinds of things. So a day, kind of a day trip in San Francisco. They have the... where they have, like, the replicas of the people. What is that? The
Wax Museum?
Wax Museum, probably.
Cool.
Was what it is. Yeah. So, initially, I was going to say that. But anyhow, and then back for I had the good fortune of going for not one, but two spiritual formation conferences, hearing Eugene Peterson, Dallas Willard. My wife and I got to actually work with Larry Crabb and facilitate his workshop. And then Larry's like, I want you to introduce me. And so that was just a lot of fun.
That's kind of almost as good as the turkey sandwich.
Well, close second, I'd say.
My God, is my stomach. That's so wrong. No, I think that sounds really cool. And also the Golden Gate Bridge, you'd think it'd be amazing. Golden, but it is orange.
Yeah. Somebody's singing California Dreamin'. I think it's the Mamas and Papas.
I love it.
We're going to let Susan sing along.
I'd be safe and warm. Hey, you're right. Was in L.A. because it's colder in San Francisco.
This is the exact song that I thought about off the air, but I didn't know who sang it.
And Mamas and Papas.
And I didn't want to sing it to you guys and be like, can we play that song? So Mark, as always.
Everybody. I thought it was.
I passed along the way.
Okay.
This may be got worked into the rotation.
Yeah.
I am going to Elevation Worship shortly. It's hard to say goodbye. There we go. You know what they're showing? Is different images of people digging out of a horrible snowstorm and saying, California Dreamin'.
Right.
And you know
and
that
again
is
in
the
February.
Case. Yeah, that is the case. All right, so something completely different in broadcasting last night. You got the regular ESPN Monday Night Football game, which in recent years has not gotten the greatest ratings, right? It feels like sometimes it's fallen, taken a backseat. As a kid growing up, for me, fond memories, like, as I'd get older, I'm like, oh, this year I can stay up till the end of the first quarter, and then it was halftime, and then it was the end of the highlights, and then, you know, into the second half. But so Monday Night Football on cable, but then they've started this, the Manning brothers, right? They're both retired, Peyton Manning, Eli, they both won a couple of Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Peyton, one with Indy, one with Denver, and Eli, both with New York, beating the Patriots. We're grateful.
We appreciate you, Somebody. Eli.
And so this is, they're showing the game on ESPN2 and ESPN+, but then these guys are carrying on a conversation. And it could be pertaining to the game, but it frequently is just kind of their brotherly camaraderie.
It's almost like they're just yucking it up in the living room and you happen to be a fly on the wall.
Yes.
So it's like a director's cut of a DVD.
Right.
It's happening.
Some of the Zoom technology and is just putting them, and then they had different guests join them, Charles Barkley, Ray Lewis, Russell Wilson last night. So here's a little bit. Here's a little sampling. This is kind of how things got started. Apparently, they haven't watched Monday Night Football together for a while.
Hey, I was thinking first Monday Night Football game you and I have watched since 1993. I was a senior. You were in the seventh grade. You had braces still. My acne had cleared up, if I recall, so I was looking good.
No.
So that family, right, that family feeling, that brotherly camaraderie kind of thing, like, you know, yeah, big brother kind of chiding his younger brother. You had braces. I think my acne cleared up. But then this is another one. It's the first play of the game, and this got a lot of play.
I think the first play tells you a lot about what the season's going to be like. John Gruden likes shifting motions. Let's see what the Raiders' season's going to be like. This is going to tell me everything I need to know.
All right, incomplete. Okay. What does that tell you?
Looking at 6-11. 6-11 right now.
So, to me, it was like playing off of sports media where they can overreact on things.
I can listen to those guys for a long time.
And now some people were saying Amy Lawrence is a talented overnight host with the CBS Sports Network. She's like, she wasn't paying as much attention to the game. So she had to kind of go and watch this recorded later. But there's just that camaraderie is really fun. And then later on, then they can go, you know, to show either of their sites. And so Peyton is actually putting a helmet on and trying to demonstrate different things. He was using his cadence. This is, he talks about that. So.
Those are two plays I just caught. I cannot, this helmet doesn't fit. I got to have specially made helmets.
Specially made helmets.
Okay. They do. Riddell makes precision fit helmets now. They fit your head specifically. Yes, for big heads. All right. That's the new thing.
So apparently, apparently Peyton does have a big head and it's hard to get.
Yeah, a little bit larger than average.
And so to have Eli just kidding him about that, like if you had any other broadcaster, they probably wouldn't, right?
Yeah, but your younger brother,
yes.
He can get away with that.
Exactly.
So you think it's successful. You liked it.
Last night, again, I wasn't watching ESPN2, but as I've watched the highlights off the NFL, yeah, I think if everything I've heard, it's a hit and people were reacting positively. And basically, they're going to do 10 games a year over the next 3 years. So it's not every week.
Yeah.
And so I think I just like the creativity in broadcasting where people say, what could we do that's different?
Mm-hmm. One, for all the people who are just sort of casually interested in a game but want to be entertained. And I know sometimes in our household, maybe one or two of us might be watching the game and really invest in the game, and the others are just sort of milling about. So if there's something where you can kind of have the best of both worlds with some entertainment and some sports at the same time, sure, give it a shot.
I would listen to Brett Favre do that by himself.
Yes. No, that would be interesting. I think he'd be a great one. He'd be a great one.
And Donald Driver in there as well.
Oh, man, that'd be good.
And for these guys, they're not having to travel to every city to do the game, right? Because they can just hang and chill.
Fun.
There you go. All right, little sample from the broadcast world. Well, it is pumpkin spice latte season.
Uh-huh.
And as I did a little research, they talked about the drink, and a very well-known establishment kind of really rolled out in about 2003s for close to 20 years.
Really?
And, well, now someone had to go and ruin it because they talk about what happens to your body when you drink a pumpkin spice.
And we decided to ruin it for you guys.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to suffer alone.
Because now that we feel bad about it, we want to make you feel bad about it, too.
PSL.
All right. What happens to your body when you drink a pumpkin spice latte? In 10 to 15 minutes, the 12 teaspoons of sugar you just drank, which are about 3 more teaspoons, the amount of sugar in a can of Coke, begin to raise your blood sugar. But the 14 grams of fat from the milk and whipped cream slow that spike, so you don't feel as hyped up as you would after drinking a can of regular pop.
So that's good.
Uh-huh.
And
we've
12
got that going for us, which is
12
nice.
Teaspoons of sugar is only 4 tablespoons. In 15 to 20 minutes, your blood sugar continues to rise. This triggers the release of insulin, which helps your cells convert sugar into energy. So if you ate anything sweet with your PSL, like a donut or muffin, chances are your cells are already full of sugar. And so you might start storing the sugar as fat. And you should be feeling very energetic because the stimulating effects of caffeine begin to kick in.
Did someone say donut?
Donut. Is there anything they can't do?
It is. And it is cream-filled donut day. And it looks like we're 12 and a half minutes from the end of the show and nobody's brought us any. So it looks like we're going to get there without that. All right. So in 20 to 30 minutes after you had that pumpkin spice latte, your body absorbs the fat you've consumed. Fat particles, a.k.a. triglycerides, enter the bloodstream. Over time, high triglyceride levels can clog your blood vessels, raise bad cholesterol, and lower healthy cholesterol, all of which can increase. I can see people driving out of the line at these establishments. Can increase your risk of heart disease. If you're healthy and generally eat nutritious food, no big deal. The effects will be short-lived. But if you're overweight, smoke, eat garbage all the time, have a family history of early heart disease, rarely exercise, or have any other risk factors, the amount of sugar and fat in just one PSL can actually threaten your heart health. No laughing matter.
Always uplifting and encouraging.
Yes.
The Wake-Up Show telling you what happens to your body when you drink a pumpkin spice latte in 45 to 60 minutes. The caffeine you drink is finally absorbed by the stomach. The average person won't feel jittery because of the low caffeine dosage. As the fat continues to pulse through your system, your blood vessels might struggle to fully dilate or expand the way they need to, which can promote potentially dangerous blood clotting in anyone who's not the picture of health.
Mm.
And finally, the final death knell. In 3 to 4 hours, your blood sugar has dropped. And the fat you drink has left your stomach. So now you start to crave calories. So you get a spike in your appetite. Thanks, pumpkin spice latte.
But the good news, and maybe something after you've had one you'll want to do, the happy dance.